Welcome to the Two Man Game. I'm your host, Landon Holland, and with me, as always, my co-host, Xavier Rocha. What's up, Roach?
What's going on, Dando? You ready to talk about this Western Conference, or what?
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it for sure. The league just keeps getting more and more depth to it, and I think this year's draft helped out even more with these bottom teams of the Western Conference, so I think this episode, we're going to have a lot to talk about with some of these lower-level teams that may have a lot of improvement this year, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, let's get right into it.
All right, so the first team we're going to talk about who finished last in the Western Conference last year, we have the Houston Rockets, who got the third pick in the NBA draft, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And, yeah, I'll let you talk about what this team did in the offseason, starting out with their third pick.
Yeah, so Houston with the third pick took Jabari Smith Jr., who for, like, most of the draft season was, it seemed like he was going to the Magic with the first overall pick, and that quickly switched, like, right before the draft night that night. So they ended up with Jabari Smith Jr., who is a great shooter coming out of college, and being 6'10", having that stretch ability is just an amazing quality, considering that's kind of where the NBA is heading. And you pair him with Jalen Green, Kevin Porter Jr., and then Alperen Şengün. Şengün and Jalen Green, who they selected in last year's draft in the first round, two guys that have a lot of potential, and I know you love Alperen. I feel like you have high hopes for him being a nice playmaking big in this league. Maybe someday becoming baby Jokic, you never know. And Jalen Green's just got the name to him, and kind of just like he's that scoring guard that like every team wants. Like he can go get his own bucket, and being 20 years old, he just kind of seems like he has that it factor for this Houston team. So, I mean, just with those four players, even Kevin Porter Jr., that's a very nice young core, and they still have Eric Gordon, who can be moved still. So, like, don't sleep on the moves that this team can make, like, throughout the season to gain picks, gain more young players, and then off the bench for them, they still have Josh Christopher, Jason Tate, Usman Garabu, and Tari Eason, who they just selected in this year's draft, too. So a lot of young depth on this team, and they just hope to see a lot of those players take another step this year and, I mean, just take it from there. They have plenty of assets from the James Harden trade, so when they do need to make a deal, they're able to. So yeah.
Yeah, I think this team has a lot to look forward to. I'm still not sure with the construction of this team what their future is going to look like. I think it's just a lot of like question marks with like how good is Kevin Porter Jr. going to be? I think he's probably the biggest question mark. Is he going to be their starting point guard in the future, or like I don't know? He's my biggest question mark because he's shown flashes, but also like how good do you think he's going to be, and like how much do you want him having the ball over Jalen Green? Because this is Jalen Green's team, and I think Jabari Smith also is going to have the ball in his hands more in the next few years. But I think, honestly, for me, one of the biggest things of this offseason, aside from their number three draft pick in Jabari, but I think if you talk about a guy like in the mid to late first round, I give Tari Eason, like, he's one of my favorite draft picks of this year. I think this guy is going to be an instant difference maker, just an elite defender. He's not going to be Herbert Jones, but I think we could, like, get some comparisons of, like, this is how good of a draft pick it was. I think Tari Eason is going to end up being an X factor for this team. Even if they're not winning games, I think he's just going to be show a lot of upside and make Houston fans super excited for the future. So that's a take I have. Just super high on Tari Eason. Is that how you say it? Or is it
Tari?
Tari Eason. Okay. Yeah. Just a super versatile defender out of LSU. Can probably guard, I mean, almost every position with his size and versatility. And I think this summer in like pro-am and stuff, he's shown that he can score the ball and shoot the ball pretty well. So, yeah, I think he's a guy that I'm super excited to watch for this Houston team, alongside of obviously the rest of their young core. But yeah, that's my take on something to watch, look out for this team is Tari Eason.
Yeah, I mean, like we've stated multiple times, the young teams in the NBA just got even more youth, so that's always good. They're growing, and I mean, I expect a lot of the younger teams to take a nice step this year, so, or teams that were at the bottom of their conferences to take a step up from where they were. So super exciting for all those teams, and especially for Houston getting that number 3 pick.
Yeah, this is still a team I don't see like in the play-in tournament. Do you think they can make a push of that, or are you in the same boat as me?
No, they're definitely, I mean, still a bottom team in this conference.
Yeah.
But I could definitely see them winning more than 20 games this season, which is where they were last year. So, I mean, whenever you jump in wins, you always get better. So that's always a step forward.
Yeah, and I think the main point for this coaching staff is just really get a good look at Jalen Green and Jabari Smith playing together, because I think those are their two main guys, and then also guys like Şengün and Kevin Porter Jr., Tari Eason, Josh. Yeah, they just have a lot of guys that they need to see what they have in and see who they want to hold on to for the future of this team.
Yeah, I mean, you want Jalen Green and Jabari Smith Jr. to be able to play off of each other, both being the two youngest prospects that they do have and probably two of the highest upside prospects that they have. So as long as those two can kind of find a rhythm playing together on the court, playing off of each other, that's going to be super good for Houston.
Yeah, for sure. This fan base has a lot to look forward to, but also just a ton of question marks. So it'll be a fun year to watch.
Yep.
But let's move on to the second lowest team in the Western Conference last year. We got your OKC Thunder. And to start off this team, let's just talk about the bad news before you talk about anything else. But yeah, we'll just bring up Chet. I'll let you talk about that and mourn in that loss.
Just heartbreaking that I'm not going to be able to watch my rookie of the year play this season. For those of you that don't know, he suffered a tear in his Lisfranc ligament in his foot playing in a pro-am in Seattle. So as NBA fans, I feel like we should all kind of boycott pro-ams for Chet's sake. But, I mean, other than that, Presti's shared that they're going to get him on like a weight program and hopefully improve his strength and body this season, because he's still going to be able to lift and stuff. He's just not going to be able to play full speed basketball. So getting him in the gym's hopefully going to be good for him. Hopefully gains some weight and is able to, I mean, because I feel like that's the biggest question for him, is just like how thin his frame is. So building up his frame, being able to body and bang down low with the bigs is going to be super helpful for him. So just prayers out to Chet. Hopefully he heals up quick and we'll see him next year playing alongside Victor Wembanyama. So,
oh, imagine those two guys.
But in other news, I mean, we had two other draft picks that I really, really like. Well, three other draft picks.
Talk about Jalen Williams. I can't wait for that guy.
I'm only in love with two of them. So with the next pick in the draft, we traded with the Knicks, and we selected Usman Jiang. a 6'7 wing who's played overseas, I think. Or maybe even taller than 6'7. Let me see.
Are you going to talk about Jalen Williams, too? Is that another guy you like?
Yes. I just don't like the second Jalen Williams. 6'10 wing who's shown when he played overseas that he's able to handle the ball and is an amazing defender. So if you can up his scoring ability, I feel like he has a super high ceiling, just being super versatile and hopefully fitting into that three spot for us in the future. I really like him. He's super young, 19 years old. So, I mean, high upside. And with the OKC's player development, I feel like he can definitely reach that ceiling that everyone wants to see him reach. And then with the very next pick in the draft, we selected Jalen Williams from Fresno
State.
Santa Clara Jalen Williams, J-Dub.
Oh, I love that guy.
And in Summer League, he just showed like that he's a great ball handler, and he's amazing defensively, and he showed his ability to shoot the ball, which is exactly what you need on a team that has Giddey and Shea leading this team with the ball in their hands. So he's just going to fit right in as a sixth man, I feel like. If not, maybe hopefully starting one day if he can just get that good. But I have super high hopes for him. He's probably my favorite prospect that we got in the draft other than... but yeah, I just love where this team's heading with three amazing picks, I feel like, that are going to be able to contribute in the future. Alongside having young guys like I already said, Shea and Giddey, with Lu Dort, Trey Mann, Alexei Pokuševski, Aaron Wiggins, and Bazley. I feel like we just have so many young players that have high upside in this league, and it's still going to be a fun team to watch. I'm going to have League Pass this year, so I'm going to be able to watch them even more. So it's going to be super fun to watch this team grow, even without Chet. And I feel like that's kind of the silver lining in this Chet injury, is that we're still going to be bad. I'm just hoping that Shea doesn't get too upset with that, and he just can wait one more year for us to get Victor Wembanyama, and we'll be competing soon, Shea. Trust me.
It's going to get to the point where Shea's had enough of this. Like, they got to start trying to win games at some point. But
I mean, whenever he's asked about it, he says that he trusts in Presti, and he knows the plan. So,
but
I feel like Presti's kind of right there with him, telling him everything. So
I don't have much to say because, I mean, you covered most of it. But I mean, what I'm watching for this year is Santa Clara Jalen Williams. Give me all of him. I'm like, I'm all in on that guy.
What did you see that just made you all in
on Santa Clara Jalen Williams?
Yeah.
I mean, just look at his frame. That's the first thing. I mean, his wingspan, his fluidity with the ball, I think. And then also just, he's got a great looking shot. I just think there's a lot to like, and defensively with his wingspan and his ability to move laterally. I don't know, I just think this guy could be a steal in the draft. And honestly, he just looks cool out there.
I kind of want to see him get him.
I'm like, dang, I want to play like this guy.
I want to see him get the buzz cut, you know, faded up. I feel like he'd look clean.
Yeah,
the big hair.
I'm just
not
all in
on
the big hair, Santa Clara Jalen Williams. And I like calling him that.
Santa Clara Jalen Williams. Well, they call him J-Dubs.
Okay.
The other one's J-Will. So.
J-Dubs. I love me some J-Dubs. But yeah, he's my... I mean, obviously, I'm excited to watch Giddey, Dort, and Shea. Alongside Bazley, I'm never letting go of Bazley.
Bazley moved to 55, dude. I think that's going to... He's going to switch up on us. He's going to take a step this year.
He's shown a lot of flashes, but I don't know. I'm losing hope on Bazley, but maybe this year he can have a good year.
I hope so.
Yeah, J-Dub, baby. Bazley. Give me some J-Dub.
J-Dub Rookie of the Year? Is that your prediction?
Nah. I wish.
We'll pump the brakes there.
Paolo's going to... I mean, I'm pretty high on Paolo winning.
I'd agree now that Chet's not playing, but...
Yeah, I think Paolo's the I think it was good that he was a first pick because I think, I mean, that guy is going to be really good no mm-hmm. matter what. All right, you ready to move on from your OKC Thunder?
Yeah, just look out for in 2 years when we have two rookies heading to the floor, both over 7 foot. We're gonna do something crazy. So,
hey, Santa Clara, Jalen Williams. That's all I have to say about OKC.
I like it.
Next team we're gonna talk about, Portland Trail Blazers. This team's very intriguing too. We just got so many intriguing teams this year. I mean, this team made a trade for Jeremy Grant in the offseason. They got the rise of Anthony Simons last year. Damian Lillard's coming back. Nasir Little was showing flashes. They got Josh Hart, who was super good last year. Signed Gary Payton II. Drafted Shaedon Sharpe. I mean, I could, yeah. That's a lot that I just said.
They had a great offseason.
Yeah. Let's just start out with their starting lineup. And, I mean, to go through that real quick, Lillard, Simons, Little, Grant, Nurkic. I guess it could be Josh Hart or Gary Payton instead of
I think
Little,
to open up the year, it's going to be Josh Hart just because I think Nasir is still recovering, but
yeah,
Little showed flashes last year.
Little gives them a lot more size that
yeah.
they might need with Simons and Lillard being the backcourt. But yeah, what do you have to say about? I mean, this team just looks a lot different. So
yeah, I mean their acquisition of Gary Payton in the offseason, that was just an amazing signing for them. And then trading for Jeremy Grant just adds another scoring option and a super versatile defender for this team, which they never really, I don't feel like they've ever had a player like Jeremy Grant play alongside Lillard. He's a 20-point-per-game scorer who, in his time in OKC, showed that he can be an amazing shot blocker as well and just super versatile and switching onto wings, which is what they really do need. Next, I mean, having two small guards and Lillard and Simons, we've already talked about it with the Garland and Mitchell thing that, like, that's kind of worrisome when you have two guards that aren't good at defending. But with Little, Grant, and Nurkic behind those two, I feel like those are all plus defenders. So you won't really have to worry too much about having those two smaller guards. And then off the bench, you have Gary Payton, who's an amazing defender. A man out there, snatching steals, catching lobs, and just an amazing transition player. And then you got Josh Hart, who's an amazing defender for his size, and an amazing rebounder for his size. Great player to come off the bench for them. And then you have high hopes for Shaedon Sharpe, who hopefully can get healthy and see the floor this year, and you can see what he can do. I just feel like they're missing that backup big that they're going to need. So hopefully they can make a move and find a big out there that needs a home, like DeMarcus Cousins. Just bring him in for a backup big minutes. He showed last year with the Nuggets that he can still play well off the bench for a team. So I feel like it wouldn't hurt for Portland to reach out to Boogie and get him on this team for backup big minutes.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of this team going with like Lillard, Simons, Gary Payton, or Josh Hart, and then Little and Grant, and just playing small ball like that, and having Little or Grant guard the five. Obviously, that might hurt your defense at times, but also gives you a lot of versatility. So I think we could see that from Portland. But, I mean, one thing I'm going to say, I'm just going to be honest here with how high I am on Shaedon Sharpe. I did some mock drafts coming into this year's draft, and I got to a point where I had Shaedon Sharpe going number one overall. And, I mean, I make some pretty bold predictions when it comes to mock drafts. Like, I fall in love with prospects at times, but he's one of the guys I really fell in love with. And towards the end of my mock draft, I had him going to Orlando with the number one pick. So if that doesn't tell you how high I am on Shaedon Sharpe, I don't know what does. I mean, he's raw, and he didn't play any college games, so a lot of people don't know what they have in him, but he was the number one guy in this high school class, because he reclassified and jumped a year ahead. So he was, like, predicted to be, like, the second overall pick behind Victor Wembanyama. But then he went a year early and fell a little bit in the draft. But I think this guy can be an elite player. I don't know how much we're going to see of that this year because, I mean, Simons had a great year last year and obviously Lillard. So I don't know how much opportunity he's going to get. But, yeah, Shaedon Sharpe. Super high on that guy, and I'm excited to see what we do get to see of him this year.
Yeah, and just learning behind Damian Lillard, like, I feel like there's almost no one better to learn behind if you're coming in as a rookie. Shaedon Sharpe, who I feel like is going to eventually play point in this league with his passing ability and size. But yeah, like you said, super raw, so he still has a lot to learn and a lot for this team to teach him, so super exciting for Portland fans. Where do you see them jumping this year? I think they're going to win a lot more games than they did last year. Where do you see them finishing?
Yeah, I mean, this Western Conference, especially this Western Conference, it's going to be a lot of teams fighting for the play-in, and I think they'll be somewhere between, like, the 6 and 11 seed all year long. I think it's hard to predict like a specific seed. I think they'll just be moving around between like the 6 and 11 seed all year. So I think they could find themselves in the play-in game, in the play-in tournament. So that's my take. I think they'll be in the play-in tournament. How about you?
Yeah, I think they'll be 8 through 10. I feel like that's a good range for them. For sure.
Yeah, I think they're a good mix of solid veteran players that are going to be really good, and then a few young guys that are promising for the future. So I think if they can balance that out well and get some good run for those young guys as well, will be important for this franchise.
Yeah.
Are you ready to move on to the next team?
Yeah, let's move on to the Kings.
All right. So, we have Sacramento who had the fifth pick? Fourth pick.
Fourth pick.
All right, so, obviously, this team, biggest drought in playoff history. I wasn't watching basketball the last time they made the playoffs, and I've been watching basketball for a long time. So, do you think this team is going to make a push at the playoffs this year? We're just going to start out with that question.
I feel like they're going to definitely take a step into the play-in tournament. Maybe you see them finish as the 7th or 8th seed. I feel like they got a lot better. Their moves, they added Kevin Huerter via trade. They signed Malik Monk, brought him onto the team. I feel like those two moves alone make this team a lot better. Huerter and Monk, two great shooters to put around Fox. And Sabonis is just a great playmaking big, and he'll find those two open out on the wings. And then you had a player like Keegan Murray, who's super versatile, and he showed that in Summer League, just how good he can be offensively. I feel like you'll see him starting at the 4. So then that moves Rashawn Holmes to the bench, which is great for this team. Rashawn Holmes is a super good player. So having him, Monk, Davion Mitchell, and Terrence Davis off the bench is, I feel like, really good depth for this team. You just got to hope that De'Aaron Fox can get better and get better at playing off the ball. But him and Sabonis had like one of the most efficient pick and rolls last season, once Sabonis was added to the team. So I feel like that's going to be huge for them, having those two play alongside each other. And just as they gain chemistry, I feel like this team's just going to get rolling, and we'll see this team play really well by the end of the season.
Yeah, I don't know if I have them in the play-in. I'm still not sure, just because of how good the Western Conference is. But yeah, they're gonna improve a lot. I think something to look at is just De'Aaron Fox's year, because a couple years ago this guy was, or maybe it was 3 years ago, but he was like high level all star, playing super good. Or maybe not an all-star, but like right around an all-star. But then like last year, he just was super underwhelming. And I mean, some people were mad that they traded Halliburton instead of Fox. So I think this year really comes down to like, how good is De'Aaron Fox going to be? Because he is their number one guy. He's going to have the ball in his hands the most, so is he going to be an elite level point guard? Is he just going to be a good point guard? And then you got Keegan Murray, the rookie, who a lot of people were frustrated with that pick because he is an older rookie, not super athletic, but just a solid player. So I think he has a lot of high expectations, being the number four draft pick and them passing up on guys like Jaden Ivey, Shaedon Sharpe, Benedict Mathurin. I think Keegan Murray has to have a solid year. But yeah, I think this team did add a lot of depth with Herter and Monk, and obviously getting Sabonis at the end of last year and Murray, and then also hopefully another solid year from Davion Mitchell, and maybe he can be even better than he was at the end of last year. So, yeah.
Yeah, Davion showed a lot of flashes last year. His offense took a nice jump there to end the season. So, I mean, if he can take a step offensively this season, his defense is always going to be there. He's a dog on defense. And then right back to Keegan Murray, I feel like the role that he's in, he's not going to have a lot of pressure on him. So, I mean, you could see him step into that Rookie of the Year, kind of like Scottie Barnes did last season. Scottie Barnes had a lot of options around him. Played amazing defensively and was just kind of good all year long. I feel like we can see Keegan Murray kind of do that, play very well defensively, hit big shots, and even create more offense than Scottie Barnes was able to last year. So I wouldn't be surprised if he steps into that Rookie of the Year conversation throughout the year.
Yeah, Murray's a solid player, but I mean, Definitely not the upside like Scottie Barnes has. But yeah, he could be a solid rookie for sure.
Yeah, we can move on to the Lakers. Yeah. That's all I have for the Kings.
So, finishing right outside the play-in last year was the Lakers. Probably the most disappointing season last year out of all the teams in the league. After trading for Westbrook and coming off of a disappointing playoff loss to the Suns the year before with the Davis injury. This team finds himself with just a lot of high hopes, as they do have arguably the best duo in the league still, even though they finished outside the play-in last year. They do still have LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and I mean, nobody wants to see those guys on any given night, so... But they did make a lot of changes, especially with the recent trade of Talen Horton-Tucker for Patrick Beverley. But yeah, I'll let you get into just the roster construction over this offseason and what you're looking forward to or question marks you have for this team.
Yeah, so during free agency, they lost a lot of players, but they also added a lot. They added Thomas Bryant, who I think is going to fit perfectly alongside Anthony Davis if they decide to play him at the five, can stretch the floor and is a pretty decent shot blocker. So playing him alongside Anthony Davis is going to be good for this team. And then they added guys like Lonnie Walker, Damian Jones, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Troy Brown Jr. And a lot of people questioned a lot of these moves, like Lonnie Walker and JTA. Just guys that aren't super amazing defensively and aren't super amazing shooters either, which is what I feel like this team needed and what everyone believed that they needed. So it's kind of confusing to see them sign those two guys and kind of waste their mid-level exception on Lonnie Walker, who hasn't shown a bunch and is kind of shown to be super inefficient when he is trying to score. And then Troy Brown Jr. hasn't shown a whole lot since entering the league. So, four weird signings, I think, for them over this like course of free agency. But their recent trade for Patrick Beverley, I actually like a lot for them. Beverly's going to bring that tenacity on defense. And he's going to kind of get everyone involved on defense and like letting them know that they need to play defense. And he's not going to be scared to tell anyone when they're not doing their best or trying their hardest when he sees it. So I like that a lot for this team. Even though they did have to give up your guy, THT, I feel like it was well worth it. They kept those picks to get him. So they can still hopefully expend those in a Russell Westbrook deal, which is the last point. I feel like they do have to get rid of Russ for this team to be able to flourish together. There's just been too many rumors surrounding Russell Westbrook and the Lakers for it to not to happen. I feel like if it was to not happen, Russell Westbrook would definitely have to be sent home just because I feel like the chemistry in this locker room would be disgusting. Especially between Westbrook and Beverly. I don't know if they can play alongside each other. They both hate each other. So definitely a move still to be made with Russell Westbrook. And there's been a lot of chatter around what deals they can do or what deals have been talked about. So still moves coming for the Lakers, for all those Laker fans that are worrying.
Yeah, I think their free agency signings are really scratching my head over a lot of them, honestly. I mean, not really high on Troy Brown Jr. He's not really shown anything in his career. I loved him at Oregon, but hasn't been really good in the league. Lonnie Walker, just a so-and-so defender, streaky shooter, streaky scorer. JTA is... I mean, I think he's a solid defender, but really can't shoot the ball very well. So, I mean, and then also Thomas Bryant. I mean, he's fine, but I don't know. I just don't think it was a great free agency for the Lakers, but I do like the Beverly trade. I think, obviously, I love THT, and I'm so high on him, but THT is a guy who I think is going to thrive with the ball in his hands, and he's not going to get that playing with LeBron and AD, so having Beverly, who can really just do the dirty work, kind of like what Caruso did on their team when they won the championship. Yeah, Beverly's going to be able to really just communicate on the defensive side of the ball, guard a lot of the other team's best players, and then even just be like he sets a lot of screens, he can spot up and shoot, he doesn't need to score. He's literally just out there to help the team win and just bring energy, and that's exactly what this team needs. As you watched last year, they were just like terrible, not motivated, and could really use a guy like Beverly. But yeah, I don't love the offseason so far other than that Beverly trade. I am looking forward to Kendrick Nunn hopefully getting to play because, I mean, he was out all of last season and they used their mid-level exception on him last year. He had a super good rookie year with the Heat, and yeah, I think Nunn can be a solid backup player for this team, and then Austin Reeves hopefully can be super solid again as he was his rookie year. But yeah, I'm not sure what this team was doing this offseason other than the Beverly trade, but at the same time, they can still be one of the better teams in the league if everything goes right when they have LeBron and AD. So yeah.
Yeah, Nunn and Reeves are, or especially Nunn, if he can get back on the court. I haven't heard much about like if he's on track to be on the court. Which it's kind of crazy that he didn't play at all last year. considering the reports were just a bone bruise. So that might be a bit concerning. But if he can come back, Austin Reeves can get a little better. I like those two players off the bench for this team. So I feel like that's a plus for the Lakers too. But the biggest question, like I've said, is just they got to find a way to move Westbrook. So out of the, I do have a question for you about potential Westbrook deal. Do you like, so like there's two deals that I've kind of seen chatter about on my timeline. It's been about sending Westbrook and those two picks and whatever else to the Pacers for Hield and Turner. Or would you like to see him head to Utah for Conley, Clarkson, and Bogdanovich?
I definitely would rather have Hield and Turner just because, I mean, Turner gives you that security blanket on the defensive side when AD does get hurt. Not saying that he will, but there's a good chance he'll miss some games this year. And then also, I mean, out of all those guys you named, Hield's the best shooter out of all those guys, and I think that is exactly what this team is missing. And if you could get a starting lineup with Patrick Beverley, Buddy Hield, LeBron, AD, and Miles Turner, I think that's the most ideal starting lineup with those two trades. So, yeah, I'd go with the Indiana trade. What would you do?
I like them both a lot. I think Conley could add a lot to this team, being a shooter. He might have lost a step on defense, but he's not a terrible defender. He's always been a good defender in his career. And then getting Jordan Clarkson, I think off the bench for this Lakers team could be huge. He's just that spark plug that every team wants off their bench, and he's a recent Sixth Man of the Year winner. So adding him to this team could be huge. And then Bogdanovich is just a great shooter and defender and just a great role player to put alongside AD and LeBron. So, I mean, I would love both trades if they could get them done. Don't know if they will, but both trades, yeah, I feel like would improve this team drastically.
Yeah, the Lakers are definitely going to be a team everybody's going to be looking out for, just because, I mean, the two big names on this team, and just because they are the Lakers. But yeah, are you ready to move on to the Spurs?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so next team we're going to talk about, San Antonio Spurs. I mean, the biggest move of the offseason is trading DeJounte Murray. Obviously, the face of this team the last couple years. But honestly, I think if I had to name, Spurs might have been like my favorite draft out of all the teams. I loved what they did in the draft. I love Sokan. I love Malachi Branham from Ohio State, and also my guy from Notre Dame, Blake Wesley. I think those are three guys who can be super solid. A lot of guys that have upside on both sides of the ball. So love what they did in the draft. But yeah, let's just talk about some of their young players we're excited to watch, because obviously this team is going to be pretty bad, probably one of the lower teams in the Western Conference with not really any solidified stars or even close to stars. I think the closest thing they have to a star is Keldon Johnson right now, and he's nothing close to an all-star right now. So, yeah, what do you like out of this team? And what direction do you think they're going?
I mean, three players that you focus on other than those three rookies are Keldon Johnson, Josh Primo, and Devin Vassell for this Spurs team. I feel like finally getting to see Primo is going to be exciting for Spurs fans. Haven't seen a lot of him in recent years as they've still been fighting for that play-in spot since they did have DeJounte Murray. But with him gone, maybe Primo can step into that point guard role for this team. Still super young, so he can still grow a lot. Keldon Johnson is hopefully going to be able to take a step scoring wise and just overall as a player, since he's going to have to carry the load. I think we're going to see a big numbers jump from him. And then same with Devin Vassell. I mean, kind of carrying more of a load, being that super good 3-and-D player for this Spurs team is going to be huge. I mean, you just got to see growth from those three players, and I feel like it's a successful year for the Spurs as they're kind of just in tank mode now.
Yeah. To highlight Primo's age, he's going to be 19 years old for half of the season, and he's a second-year player. So that's yep. insane how young he is. He's pretty much a rookie this year with his age. But yeah, he's a guy that I'm excited to watch. And then Vassell, as you talked about, 3-and-D guy, but also he showed last year he can do a lot more than that. He can put the ball on the court and really create for himself. Has a really good mid-range pull-up. And yeah, out of this whole team, I think Vassell is going to be, I would say he's going to be their number one scoring option. That might be a stretch, but I don't know.
Keldon.
I think, yeah, it's going to be weird. This team's going to be really weird to watch because, like, they really have no, like, number one guy. Like, Keldon is not a number one guy. He shouldn't be, but he might have to be. So, yeah, this team's going to be pretty bad, but just a lot of young guys that it'll be fun to watch. And those rookies I talked about, is it Sokan? Is that how you say his name?
Sohan, I think, or Sokan, maybe. I don't know.
Okay. But he's a guy out of Baylor that, I mean, his defensive potential is super high. And then the guy out of Ohio State, Malachi Branham, is got a lot of scoring potential. But, yeah, I think this team is just looking to just develop their young guys. And, yeah, as you mentioned, those three guys are probably the main core of that development, Primo, Vassell, and Johnson. And then I'm interested to see Sokan, or however you say his name, is he going to get a lot of run this year at being their first pick?
Yeah, Sohan, I mean, a lot of people have made the comparison of Draymond Green. Just a nagging defender that's going to try his hardest on that end, and then is a pretty good playmaker. You hope to see improvements offensively for him, but I mean, I feel like he's going to be an impactful player no matter what throughout his career, just like based on how he plays. So I like that pick a lot for the Spurs.
Yeah, even though this team's going to be really bad, they're going to be one of my league pass teams just because I really do like Primo and Vassell and Johnson and these rookies. So yeah, not to mention they have Jakob Poeltl and Trey Jones and some solid solid pieces, but definitely nothing close to like star players.
Yeah.
But I'm ready to move on to the final team when you are.
I am as well. Probably the most intriguing team.
Yeah, so we have a team that missed the playoffs last year to maybe many would consider the top of the contenders for this year, which is just crazy to say, but the Los Angeles Clippers. I'll let you start out talking about just the potential this team has to compete for a title this year, and whether or not you think that is true or not.
I mean, not having Paul George for most of the year last year, and then no Kawhi Leonard for the entire year, and still making the play-in tournament as the 8th seed. So, it's just amazing. So adding those two back for a full season, and then also picking up John Wall, which is just a pickup I love for this team. I feel like, I mean, when John Wall played for the Rockets, he didn't look washed at all. So if he can kind of stay at that level, I like it a lot for this team. So, I mean, if we see a starting lineup of John Wall, or even like a closing lineup of John Wall, Norman Powell, PG, Kawhi Leonard, and Zubac, I feel like that's championship starting five right there. And then you have off the bench Reggie Jackson, Marcus Morris Sr., Rocco, and Nicholas Batum, Terrence Mann, Luke Kennard. Like, this team's super deep with just shooters and defensive guys to put around Kawhi Leonard and PG. So, I mean, I like what this team is doing, and I like where they're heading, and they're definitely a title favorite in the West for me.
Yeah, this team does not this team does not belong on this podcast with the bottom teams of the Western Conference. I mean, this is a team I have in the top three of the West for teams competing, and I'll get into that for our next episode, as I don't want to talk about the other teams that I have at the top. But yeah, I don't really see how this team isn't at the very top of the West and at least making it to the second round of the playoffs next year. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're in the finals next year. That's how much I like this team. Obviously, having Kawhi Leonard healthy, being one of the best players in this league, and then Paul George, another one of the better wings we have in the game, and just the depth that you talk about with having Reggie Jackson and John Wall, having Norman Powell and Marcus Smart and Luke Kennard and Covington, Batum. They just got, like they were last year, they're just a team full of versatile wings that can shoot, defend, play make a little bit, and just really have a super good coaching staff led by Ty Lue. But yeah, I don't think there's much to say about this team. They're going to be great, and I think the biggest piece people are going to be watching at the beginning of the year will be John Wall, as he's a former All-NBA point guard, and he could be great this year. He could be not so great, so I think that's the number one question mark. But even if he's not so great, the Clippers are still going to be great. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, John Wall is definitely the biggest X factor. If you can get close to All-Star John Wall, which I don't know how likely that is, but if you can get him playing super good basketball, I mean, what he's capable of can add a ton to this already loaded team with two superstars. So, yeah, the Clippers should be super excited for this upcoming season. And, I mean, you added to it, Tyronn Lue being a top coach is huge for this team as well. So, I mean, he's an X factor alone for this team too.
So, to end this episode, I just want to ask you, out of these seven teams we talked about, besides the Thunder, because you can't answer that, but like, what team are you most excited to watch out of these seven teams, besides the Thunder?
I mean, for me, the Clippers for sure. I mean, just getting those two stars back, adding John Wall, who I've liked ever since I've started watching basketball. He's been super fun. So, I mean, having those three players alone is super exciting with their amazing versatility on defense with all the wings that they have, and just how good they're going to be throughout the season. So I'd probably go with the Clippers. How about you?
I think I'd definitely have to go with the Blazers, honestly. I just really think they're the most intriguing team for me out of these seven teams. I think they're going to be solid, but they also have those young guys that we've talked about, like Shaedon Sharpe and Nasir Little, Anthony Simons. So they got a mix of super solid vets and super raw and high potential players mixed together, which I think is going to be super fun to watch. And I'm just curious to see where this team lands at the end of the year.
I like it.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going back-to-back, and we're going to record the top eight teams from last year in our next episode. So, yeah, we'll get both of these posted within probably a week of each other. So be on the lookout for the next episode. But, yeah, hope you all enjoyed. We'll see you next episode.
See you guys.